Hello, dear listener, and welcome back to Bondfinger, the only James Bond commentary podcast brave enough to call Joan Collins a... Actually, on second thoughts, maybe we're not brave enough. I'm Nathan.
I'm Brendan.
And I'm two quarts of Cinzano in first class held by Leonard Rossiter and emptied all over Joan's bristles for this episode.
And I'm James.
Oh, James. Oh, look, oh, James is back. We finally remembered to do it this time. Thank you, Richard. So, obviously, we're completely out of Bond film. So, Richard, what are we watching tonight?
Tonight, dear listener and Nathan, thank you both for joining us. We are going to be enjoying the celebrated career of La Collins' Joan and her celebrated and long-standing friendship with Roger Moore and not Tony Curtis. So this episode, dear listener, if you'd care to join us, is called 5 Miles to Midnight, which is a pun on a French film we will go on into. This is quite an interesting point for everyone's careers, some of whom, you know, really sailed immediately afterwards and others are Tony Curtis. And we will enjoy all of this. I'm happy to invite you along if you bother to listen to FTE. It is Terry Nation's first big gig, you might say, as script editor and story and producer.
Wow, okay.
Co-producer. And he's written this very first episode to be filmed, first episode to be recorded, and first one to almost have the production come to a standstill because of a certain word.
Ooh. So more of that later. If you haven't read your show notes or, you know, the episode title, for God's sake, it's The Persuaders, and this was first broadcast in 1971.
Probably came out 72, but okay. Recorded early 71.
Okay, so we have the Blu-ray box set, and it looks absolutely unbelievably beautiful. That 35mm film looks really extraordinary. So just if you don't have a copy, I want you to pause the podcast, order it on Amazon, then come back in, 10 to 15 working days.
I got mine from Network, I have to say, and they gave me a lovely deal, Network UK, because I'm an insanely devoted correspondent. No, I got it at quite a good price. But this is – I have also seen this on YouTube. So. Okay.
All right. Cool. Yeah. Well, if I find it on YouTube, I'll fling it in the show notes and you'll
be
able
to. I'm
not
sure that it's up there currently.
Or on the torrent site of your choice.
Oh, we can't recommend that. No. That's crime.
Pirate gay.
Yeah. I mean,
pirate bay.
I'm sorry. As someone who actually works in television, don't do that.
I'm not approving that. It's available to buy on the YouTubes, isn't it?
I don't know. Not anyone out there. You can buy it
on Apple.
I think it's available for like a couple of dollars an episode on YouTube.
I don't think anyone out there is torrenting Australian reality series, however.
I don't think anyone actually bothers watching this crap
while they listen to it.
They may be torrent, but you're not torrenting.
Yeah. Yeah, they just listen out for us saying words like plinge. Mm-hmm.
All right. So,
if anyone is still
Madame de Plonge.
So, just wait one moment. You've got your Blu-ray queued up, and when I'm going to say a word, our key word.
I wonder what that is.
Our key word for tonight's episode is prrr. So, when I next say that word.
With precisely that many R's. Yes.
I was expecting Molly Sugden, so we're not far off.
So, when I next say that word, I want you to press play and Richard will do the same. All right, ladies and gentlemen. Prrr. And we're off.
You know, it has been a constant source of amazement to me that you keep choosing words with more than one syllable. But this time around, you've chosen a word with one syllable.
Well, less than one syllable, really.
And extended it out as far as possible.
Speaking of
madam.
Much like Joan Collins's.
So I knew nothing about this when I first watched this last night. Absolutely nothing. And by this point, I thought, surely can they? It's this flaw that made me convinced suddenly, yes, they have gone to Italy. This is expensive.
Again, the first one that was filmed. So they did a half dozen episodes, Au Le Continent. Mm-hmm.
It's like the 17th to be broadcast.
Yeah, yeah. It was set back quite late because of incidents. But this is also directed, we should say, if you're admiring the direction so far, what a lovely primrose lamp, by the celebrated Val Guest, whom we have celebrated on this very podcast in a celebratory fashion, because he's the bloke that brought together Casino Royale. I'm sure it's time we did that as a podcast.
We've never done it. So it is.
It's Sarah Kingdom.
It's Brett Vianz's brother.
Without pants.
It's her from upstairs, downstairs.
Yeah. But no pants. What the frick is she wearing? And stop looking at that, you dirty man.
I am Morgaine Le Fay. I am power beyond your imagining. And I need
an ashtray, please.
Thank you. Do you like my cigarette?
I'm kind of loving the apartment. Everything's so Captain Oka.
So it is.
Oh, another dead one on my very
rug. On your rug,
listener.
It's here.
It's here right now.
That's why he bought it.
Sorry, yes, and there's Joe 90. I recognise the suicase. And a lot of old thespians, same different. What the frick? Now, a lot of boys are wearing Roger's tailoring. Roger was so impressed by somebody in Pearson, up to north, that he bought shares in the company, and that's why you see Roger Moore's tailoring by Roger Moore. But he also, because he had dividends in the company, got senior articles of suiting. But it just looks like an episode of Joe 90 or Captain Scarlet, doesn't it? Oh, bit of head touching. Put some pants on, woman. I don't think this is going to end well for Jean Marsh. What do you reckon?
No, she's not even going to survive for the opening credits.
Hang on, wasn't she married to Pertwee at the time?
That subtitle just said, I was a man.
No.
It did.
She was with a man, she says.
I was a man.
Oh, well, there you go.
I believe that Jean and John divorced in the 50s.
I thought it was early 60s because Diana Dawes was at that party. It's in Diana Dawes' book. It always comes back to Diana Dawes. And they were doing a seance with a soothsayer, you know, just like that Asterix comic in the full regalia, looking just like him. And he said to Jean Marsh, well, he's a poof.
Who, Pertwee?
Yeah.
Oh.
And she he was also having an affair at the time. Oh, allegedly. So anyway.
Yes. He's not going to sue us.
But she said he's Rolls Royce rich. she said to Diana Dawes, he's got a yacht for every time he goes out.
And now she's dead. Shot with a time destructor.
It didn't last long, did it?
They were divorced in 1960.
I'm very sad to hear that. Now this, dear listener, if you're looking upright, is Roger, but that's Roger's son dressed as Turlough.
So James recommended that I watch episode one so that I could understand the incredibly complex.
It's very dense, isn't it?
Yes, it is a very difficult to understand premise. But I actually think that this is actually quite well told here.
You know what it's based on?
No.
Okay, it's a 1940 film called Boomtown with Spencer
Annette
Tracy.
Badland and
indeed.
John Harris.
Absolutely.
Harriman.
Spencer Tracy and Clark Gable. And the buddy films had suddenly come back because everyone who was watching this, what the fuck were those trousers? Everyone who was watching this.
That was just a moment to reassure us that they're heterosexual and they're not secretly boning, you know, in between scenes.
Despite the fact that they've got a pink background and purple writing.
And a very camp exclamation mark with the Persuaders.
Well, Terry Nation called it the Friendly Persuaders.
Oh.
But that got changed hurriedly.
Hello, I'm Julian and this is my friend Sandy, the Friendly Persuaders.
This series was tested at Joan Collins. Hello. This series was
tested. I want to be there.
There's Al George's Aston Martin DBS.
But and look, Roger's doing his own stunts at this
he
point.
He is, with Terry Nation.
So last episode we talked about how we had municipal green walls. Brendan, do you remember that?
No, I remember very little of last episode. And I don't know why people keep tweeting Joan Collins at me.
You're very naughty boys.
We had the same vile green bedroom walls as children.
Yes.
My bedroom walls were the same color as Roger's car.
Oh, right.
Oh.
Vile mustard yellow.
Baby shit mustard.
Yes.
Yeah.
As he was known to his mates. this episode was trialed, as we were saying. They were all testing to see where to go after The Saint, which made an insane amount of money. And finished about 68, ridiculous amount of money. Roger said, I don't want to do TV anymore, Sir Lou. I'd like Lord Thames. I'd like to go and, you know, do a film. He did do a couple of films. He had a bit of a breakdown doing The Man Who Haunted Himself, which we referred to last time.
Yes, of course.
Which we need to really actually get. Yes, Rod's into that too, isn't he? And we will probably do in a future podcast. It is Roger's best film, and said to be that he's like, and it's a bit sci-fi. It's Sliding Doors without Gwyneth Paltrow.
Oh. Well, that's enough recommendation.
No, everything is improved by the absence of Gwyneth Paltrow.
But or the steaming of her vagina.
Oh, and that's the first mention of something that will be mentioned many times this podcast, Colin Neal. I'm sorry.
Well, I was.
Oh, and there she is.
I was going to say, does Joan. Roger at any point stick a jade egg up his Jackson?
That's really timely if you look at the position Joan's taking right now.
So do you think this is ripped off The Invasion?
It's ripped off...
Isabel?
Oh, my God, it is. Oh, my God, it's Isabel Watkins.
Is this Tara King's apartment flipped and repainted?
Good point.
Oh, my God, those...
I think the set actually is.
Yes, with better furnishings.
The set actually... Now, don't forget, this is the first one filmed. They built one major set for this, which is the Count's...
Yes.
And you notice how carefully I pronounce that, James. This is his manner.
You're not pronouncing it the right way. It's Count.
Thank you, James. Joan wears a wig for the entirety of this.
Well, so does Roger.
Yes.
and that's below the belt.
Oh, James. So this episode was trialed in an episode of The Saint with Stuart Damon as a buddy film based on that Boomtown film because, of course, Butch, which is nothing you'll ever encounter in this podcast, Cassidy and the Sundance Kid was a massive hit just the year before.
Right.
And, of course, The Sting, you know, but so Vanessa Redgrave and who else was in it? You remember.
Who's in The Sting?
Is it Robert Redford?
Yes, Redford.
Yes. Yeah. Vanessa Redford and
Robert Redgrave.
Yes, that's the one. Anyway, so they tried it with Stuart Damon. This is the most expensive thing ever made for British television at the time.
Right.
Until Space 1979.
Oh, which...
And we're recording...
The 20th anniversary, Richard.
Of losing the moon.
When are we doing the Space 1979?
We're doing it now, darling.
We are doing one because Joan is in one, so we'll be doing that later.
And,
there's Tony.
So is Patrick Troughton.
So this is the first shoot. Anyway, they realized they had to get a big star. This was Clint Kirk, the character that Tony's playing, originally cast and pursued for over 6 months, Rock Hudson. They wanted Rock Hudson. And you know who vetoed it?
Doris.
No, Sir Roger. Oh. And he said, it won't work. We're exactly the same.
You know what? I think he's got a point. Yeah. I think visually in long shot, Tony and Roger are very different, whereas Rock and Roger have very similar looks. Rock is more handsome, I would say. That may have motivated Roger's objection. But of course, we can't forget that in the 50s, Roger did a lot of work in Hollywood.
Are you euphemizing?
No. Like
liposuction.
He shacked up with Dorothy Squires and he talks about that in his autobiography.
They just get their divorce just before the shoots.
And, you know, he kind of says in his autobiography, the way I left things with Dot, I was a complete cad. I'm not proud of it, but that's a part of my life.
No, she held on to him by the swanicles.
I have to say,
by the Piers Morgans.
On this Blu-ray transfer, I could easily drown in Roger's eyes.
They're limpid.
Limpid is exactly the word.
You can totally see why he was cast as Bond as sex symbol, but unfortunately it then started to leave him.
Yeah. I have to say he's my favourite Bond now.
But he did grow a...
Oh, he's so much fun.
Grow a third nipple. Oh, wait, I didn't know that was that was the man with the golden gun.
That was great.
That's a Stimpy episode, isn't it?
Well, you know, he more sort of... curated the third nipple from some salami.
Isn't it great that you can be an actor in prime TV with a paunch?
Yes, hope for all of us, except for Brendan.
Meanwhile, I'm still looking at these people and just going, you know what? I'm going to start wearing fucking bow ties every day. Fuck the fucking motto.
I love this jacket.
I love bow ties. Oh, yes. It's seersucker.
No, I mean Roger's jacket with the green.
Oh, no.
I kind of want
Roger's
cravat.
Own fabric.
Mm. I want his cravat.
Seersucker rather than cocksucker as... Okay. Sorry, Rock Hudson.
As it would have been if Rock Hudson had been in the show.
Okay, hands up. Who, Rock Hudson, would you have?
God, yes. We're on a podcast, Brendan. It's not his
role. I had a crush on him.
Robert. No one will ever know my answer.
Oh, is this the truck where it happens?
Yes.
It is, but not till later.
Look, did you call me?
This is a 1948 Citroen for all the Aspergy nerds like myself at listening to this.
I love the...
And it's also featured in several Tintin comics.
I love the way the door opens backwards.
Are we still talking about Joan?
No, we're talking about Scylla.
It's hinged in the direction of driving.
So Joan had just had an unfriendly divorce. And
that explains
needed
the wig.
Yes,
God, the wig is really bad.
This is the same year that Dame Shirley Jones, Mrs. Partridge from the Partridge family, cites just before this, actually, before her divorce to Anthony Newley, when she and her husband Jack Cassidy, father of David Cassidy from the Partridge family, were at dinner in the UK when they were over there doing David Cassidy was doing a show, and Joan and Tony Newley said, "How about we finished dessert? How about we all take our clothes off and watch pornography?" Much like this podcast.
We're doing it now.
I'm sure I've had that sort of weekend.
And Shirley Jones looked at Joan and said, "We're just not that sort of partiers." and left. And it's in Shirley Jones's first draft. And Joan sued Shirley while she was still alive at 79. She put a autobiography out. Joan won the case and it's excised from every other edition. But Shirley died apparently just a few weeks before saying it was all true.
So is Joan going to hunt us down? And is she no longer with us?
She's 85.
No,
she's 85 right now.
She's not her sister.
No. And her husband is
a man.
He's my age exactly. He's 52.
But shall I do this? They were lucky bitches.
The headline in the tabloids in the UK when she married her husband was "Joan says I do to young Percy from Peru."
Oh God! Considering what they're putting Meghan Markle through, can you be surprised?
Oh, yeah.
Pack of
dogs. Oh. Can I tell you a little story about Joan's last interview?
Please.
That was in The Guardian. It's quite caustic and you're welcome to go and look at it if you care to, dear listener.
If you need your oven cleaning.
She sat and looked. She asked the young lady's politics when she came down this, and called her Sarah, even though that's not the actual interviewer's name. This was in one of her three apartments. It was decorated entirely in Louis Kahn's. Oh, arses. Andrew, if you're still watching.
Tony Curtis's skin.
Tony Curtis is only 44 in this, dear listener. What do you reckon?
Yeah.
He's
yeah.
terribly
And Roger's
handsome.
42. And Joan is... What?
Maybe that's
she's 65.
This is.
And she looks lovely, doesn't she?
She does. She the hair lovely. Is not doing anyone.
Well, that's
because
it can't move. Because it's plastic.
This is like the naughty younger brother of the Avengers, really. Isn't
yes.
it?
Like persuaders, definitely.
No girls,
especially. Especially the whole, he Tony kisses her, and then Roger leans in and kisses her. It's like this.
Did you see her character? Do you know what it was originally written as? Sydney Box. Oh. I'm really not joking because Sid Box was a co-founder with Robert Baker, and they actually had their people Roger had worked with as co-producers, so she was named after him.
Right.
I'm sure that's the only reason.
When are we doing Sydney's Boxes podcast?
We're doing
it now.
Oh, my God, that back wheel just completely came off the ground.
So here we are on holiday.
I am so on holiday
with
watching
Brian
this.
And Simon, I hope.
You just come back from there?
A couple of weeks ago, but I was in the south. It's all much more relaxed. They're heading up north and it's going to be very
uptight. They look like they're cruising.
Who's coming to Europe for my 40th birthday?
We are. The entire listenership, all three of them.
That includes you, Stephen Bissonnette.
He doesn't talk to us anymore. He's
not after last episode.
He's not silly.
I think there are a lot of unmotivated accents on the Italian subtitles on this episode.
Oh my God, Roger's already got unmovable eyebrows.
Aren't there some subtitles in this, like, swearing in foreign or something terrible like that?
No, actually.
No, look there.
Italian. Wow. Different print.
They are doing it.
Because I'm sure I like the version I've seen. The subtitles are like, shouts in foreign.
Did Contender do a box set of this?
Exactly. His tires squeal. Oh, Roger. Girl. That's not Roger doing his. Oh, I like the nimble cop.
It's so great. I can't get over how good this looks.
I can't get over Joan's wig.
What is it, you cop face?
Yeah. Well, I was watching it on through another method last night and didn't have yes. quite the bandwidth that Blu-ray has. And it just looks beautiful.
It is ludicrously attractive, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's beautiful. It's like eating a face full of gelato.
Oh, Fanta. Art placement.
Nazi pop.
It's a James was Bond it? Film. It's
yeah, Fanta was invented by the Coca-Cola bottlers because they weren't selling Coke in Germany during the war.
Oh.
This is black.
Ask Joan, she was there.
Do you remember in that previous episode when I said he's Lambulance?
Do that every episode now, darling.
I'd just like to take the time to mention one of my favourite Joan Collins guest performances, and I'm not even being ironic here. It's in Star Trek, in City on the Edge of Forever.
Yeah. I think it's one of her best things years. Ever.
When are you doing the City on the Edge of Forever podcast?
Yeah, doing it now.
I think she actually gives the best guest performance in the whole of original Trek.
She can actually act.
Oh,
yeah.
Isn't
that
it's beautiful.
Thing?
Yeah. It's a horrifically fascist episode. Like, it's an upsetting...
He's dark. He's a dark man. But he goes for the political.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, though, I think it also raises the point that, you know, yes, you can want to be peaceful, but there are things worth fighting for.
Yeah.
You know, and of course, you know, Shatner's good in it, but I get the impression watching it, even Shatner is kind of yielding the stage to Joan Collins, which is fabulous.
Is it a bit like that scene in The Daleks where they convince the pacifists to be violent?
Yes.
This is where Joan drives the truck into the roof and then comes out with her steel teeth.
I've seen this episode. I thought that was Elizabeth Sladen.
I thought that was Truckosaurus.
Their wooden teeth.
We love Liz. Hi, Joan. Hi. What is she eating?
She's just
a leek
grazing. Grazing on that
she's
old
She's eating
man's
a raw
veggies.
Onion because she's come out to say she supports UKIP.
She yes, did. In this interview, yes.
No, she did. And she
not
says,
the Brexit party?
No, she says Mrs. Thatcher was the best leader Britain's ever had. She also said in this interview, can I quote, is this a good point to quote? Yes. There are flies all over. Apparently they were haunted by flies in this episode. You can't really see it through even on the Blu-ray, but they were mostly... I'm sorry, they were mostly bothering Joan.
Oh, there were flies. Were they midges?
Richard, if you read more of this article, I'll feel better about Shatner letting her die in that Star Trek episode.
Are you ready for this? The interviewer, I need to find this, but the interviewer was saying there was a fly that was bothering Joan, and Joan said... Joan said, because it happens a lot at her age, and Joan said, no, none of those jokes, James, not yet. And Joan said, do you believe that little flies or butterflies or something that can be old souls, perhaps, you know, like people you knew with no syntax? What? I have, and Joan went on to say, I have this little fly that comes near me all the time. It's really strange.
It's and the interviewer
said, what do you mean, Dame Joan? And she said, I think it's my sister.
Oh, my God. The Kate O'Mara Joanna Lumley thing was right.
She wasn't dead at that point.
Yeah, she'd been dead for 3 years. Jackie had been dead for 3 years. This is a new interview.
Oh, it's a recent interview.
After 7 years of keeping her cancer secret, even from Joan. And Joan says, look, I know that sounds weird. And I don't know whether I believe in an afterlife or not, she said, but my opinion is still out to luncheon. She actually uses the word luncheon about that.
You do a very good impression of her.
I'm so fucking close to her, it's insane. But she said, I grew up with Joan, I love Joan. But she said, I'm not sure that I believe in her, but she said, my opinion is still out to luncheon because it's weird that wherever I go, at least in the last 2 or 3 months, London, France... the Côte d'Azur, here, darling, here, this little fly comes out and bothers me. Now, maybe it's because the fruit's rotting. Now, I hope that's not a euphemism. But she said, I don't know. And she laughs hysterically. But she said, and then she goes very low and she said, but I think it's Jack.
known to Captain as her friend.
Now, darling, they've just driven onto the bridge. Is it time?
This is almost the moment. This is almost the moment, dear listener.
And we just had some Tony Curtis nips.
Tony's looking hot, although apparently he was drunk for most of this.
I had that T-shirt as a child.
Oh, speaking of which, Brendan.
Yes. Same. Oh, thank you, darling. Yes.
Yes, there's booze in this one.
I also love his edge straker pants.
Fill him up and his glass.
No. What do we feel about the direction? Because Val Guest is a bloody good director, and they paid a lot of money for him to do this. As I say, this first shoot. oh, hello, Tony's crotch, as this first show. They were dying of the heat as well. Joan was complaining about the flies all the way through.
They've been plaguing her since well before Jackie died.
I think Jackie was channeling.
This one is Winston Churchill.
That's right. This is the Emperor Caracalla.
For people who are not
you pay extra for these sort of classical references on other podcasts.
We're high class.
Stop making me laugh if you want to pour me. If you want me to pour.
What are we, Brendan?
If you want to pour me.
Is anyone watching this shit?
Is there an episode on? No, Tony Curtis is seriously.
There's a lot
hot.
Of crotch, Captain, right here.
For those of us, aren't as big a nerds as us,
yes. No one sense? I know.
Val Guest.
Well, he patched together Casino Royale.
Director of Cassie Royal.
Yeah, the Charles Feldman thing. But he'd been a shooter, and you know, and
Daniel Craig.
No, stop it. He'd been. Most of the boys working on this, and they're all men, were involved in filming during the war. Yes, indeed. Thank you. but they'd all honed their craft in the services, in the forces. But Val Guest was really well respected as a director in British cinema, not just, you know, he was the bloke who rescued it when it was looking like it was going to fail. We're at the scene.
That was a heroic effort, too. I mean, it was a giant mess, wasn't it?
I love Casino Royale.
Do we see or hear it?
I've never seen it.
Joan, at this point, was a bit upset during the shoot. Okay.
Why is that true?
Well, would anyone else like to throw something in at this point?
I think you tell it best.
I think you can smell it from here.
I've been hogging, so to speak. Look, it was a very hot shoot.
That explains the flies.
Tony was having difficulties with Joan already. And he'd said along the lines of, you know, he didn't get that, what can I say? On one day, Joan needed to use the lavatory, but because it was a television shoot, there were only two caravans on set. This is the depths of Italy in 1970. So, you know, there weren't that many five-star hotels. So Joan had to share a caravan with Frank Rocco and his wife, and Tony and Roger shared the other one.
Mm. Otherwise known as the Caravan of Courage.
Oh, well, that's how they're playing it, though.
I think it's known as Tony's ass. But anyway, do you see Roger as the top? I'd like to conduct a quick poll.
With that hair, yes.
Yes.
Brendan? I have no idea what you're talking about.
No, I have no idea either. But anyway.
He wasn't with Grace Jones.
No one could top Grace Jones.
Did we mention the 14-inch black dildo that she had in the bed to torture? Yes, I think we did. Yes.
It was called Maurice. Oh, Roger, stop it, you're scaring me.
Anyway, look, Joan had asked Rocco and his wife to leave the trailer because she needed to use the lavatoire because these flies are fucking up me minge and I can't cope, she said. Because she was class. And Tony Curtis saw that she'd booted them out. And he said, I'm so sorry, dear listener. And he said, can you believe that fucking piece of ass work? Which sounds like us. And Roger said, no, Tony. This is TV. We work. He said, Tony said, she told him to get out of the trailer. Can you believe it? That fucking beep, bleep, bleep. Roger said, look, calm down, Tony. This is how TV works. We are all in it together. We turn up on time together. We learn our lines together. We say them together. And then we go to the loo together. And we leave at 5:30. We don't make waves. We don't even flush. I mean, I love Roger. Anyway, sorry.
I was just going to say, the producer I'm working with just doesn't switch off the bathroom tap and it's right next to me. It's annoying. Sorry, carry on.
I wonder what he's doing while he can't.
What is it that Tony couldn't face?
Sorry.
But that scene that we just saw, dear listener, was a few days later and Tony wouldn't let it go. Tony would not let it go. Val Guest was shooting the sequence of Danny driving the van down off the road. You know, on the first take, the very first take, they weren't over time, They were all doing well. Here, this is the moment. This is it. Tony had driven too far and had missed his mark, so they had to reshoot. So he backed it up for another take. Jones said, I am not getting in that vehicle with Tony Curtis. Like that. Is this okay?
No, no, you're doing good.
Sorry. Vehicle with Tony Curtis, just in case anyone's gone to sleep. And Tony commented, you goddamn chicken shit piece of actress. Piece of actress. I like that. As Tony recalled in American Prince, it's an article, you know, we all have pinned to our fridges, when the assistant director signaled him to start, Jones said, no, don't go yet, please. I'm not ready. Let me go. Let me get in the mood. And she pulled out her makeup kit and did her face, just like Grace Jones and Tanya Roberts. Then, turning to the guest actress, Tony said on mic, Joan, will you stop acting like a cunt? Let's get this shot in, then we can all get back for lunch. It's hot and we're really shitted. Joan, because he was drunk, Joan wound down the window, interrupted the take and said, Val, he called me a cunt.
But
what she was called by everyone for the rest of the shoot? Joan Collins.
Well, in fact, one of the reasons why we're doing this episode, isn't it? Because when we, you know, just before our last Bondfinger, we actually watched Tony Curtis in one of the sort of special features of this box
we
set,
did.
Talking about that very incident.
Yeah, and just basically, confirming yes, everything.
Yes, I did
Joan
do
said.
That.
Yes. I think we're about to get a Rog snog.
Yep. No, it's exactly the same as Bond.
Yeah, that's exactly it. He is the worst on-screen kisser ever.
It's a dead fish.
She looks like she's just been farted on.
If Richard doesn't mind me picking up his anecdote, Roger was not on set for this. So Roger turns up to perform his scenes and finds nothing's being shot. And Tony Curtis runs up to Roger and says, Roger, I've done something terrible. What is it, Tony? I called Joan a cunt. Oh, Tony, you shouldn't have done that.
Apparently Roger burst out laughing and then the rest of the set burst out laughing. And the only one not laughing was
Joan, of course. Collins. And so Roger walked up to Joan because, of course, they were old friends. They
really
worked together
old
before,
mates, yeah.
And Joan says, he called me a cunt. And Roger's like, well, yes, he really shouldn't have done that, you know, Joan. And I don't know how the whole thing was rectified, but but yeah, Roger tells the same story in his autobiography.
Because he would, wouldn't he?
Yeah.
This is a set. This was built...
Oh, no, it's very clearly a set.
I think it's gorgeous.
It is beautiful.
It is a gorgeous set.
It is.
But this show is not very good at convincing us that its sets are real places.
Is it the lighting? Because the lighting is pretty flat.
Yeah, the lighting is very flat, isn't
it? What does it say on that coat of arms? The world is not enough?
It says...
The world is not enough.
It says he called
Draco. Draco Dormiens. No.
This bloke is excellent. I mean,
Valagulus.
No, me cunnum up. Pella
in your face.
That's Latin for he called me.
If we zoom in, you can see. That's
your tag there.
Clatu brada nicto.
In her cunt.
Speaking of which, later in that interview,
that word for the rest of
the
episode.
Sorry. The phone rang, and Joan said, "Look, excuse me, it's an old friend." And Joan's face fell, and she said, "Look, I'll call you back." And then she looked at the interviewer and said, another of my friends is dead. They're all dropping like flies.
My God, she's turning into an episode of Tales of the Unexpected. She's
really
going to be pinning flies to a border. This is Jax. And this is Jacqueline Hill.
And this is Tony Curtis.
He's not dead yet.
Do you know what Joan is doing right now, dear listener?
Laughing at us.
She's, I don't think it's out yet.
Calling her lawyer.
No, she's just, she's just done season 8 of American Horror Story and she plays 3 different characters.
All
you know, it's the bloke
zombie.
Who did Glee. What's his name?
Tony Curtis.
Ryan Murphy. So it's Ryan Murphy who did Feud and Glee.
Speaking of, have you watched Pose yet?
I'm sorry, Feud I've watched.
Pose,
I love Pose. Thank you for downloading that, Uncle James.
I love Finn.
Very good.
Say that.
No, for and paying a lot of money for it.
Yeah,
Downloading
Apple.
Yeah,
she said they call him the $300 million man, Brian
Ryan because Wizard of Murphy because he makes so much money. She said,
everyone commits to do this without even knowing what they're going to do, darling. Suddenly I'm channeling Jennifer Saunders. but she said, I haven't even read the role. But Ryan told me it was meaty. It was meaty and I had to get my teeth into it.
And so was my part.
No, well, it was. She said, darling, I didn't know I'm playing a cannibal and I'm eating human flesh.
These are Joan's own words. She's
otherwise
my
God.
Jamie Curtis.
What?
Sorry.
Jamie Lee Curtis.
More of that later.
She said, oh God, but they actually gave me some kind of gruel. Quinoa, I think they called it. Quinoa. And I had to eat it like I was really loving it. And the interviewer said, Dame Joan, was it as revolting as human flesh?
And Joan says, well, staring at me through her sunglasses, which she wore the entire interview indoors,
I wouldn't know what human flesh tasted like, darling, would I?
Come on, we all do.
I will say, you know, when you've been with someone for 7 years, you have to make your own fun. So I've discovered that Rod has an aversion to quinoa. Because
like Dame Joan.
He insists when he was growing up that it was quinoa.
Yes.
And that quinoa is just fucking fancy. And it's not some fucking superfood. I'm like, no, but it's tasty. No, it's awful.
It's just dinner porridge.
The thing is, I'm literally just cooking dinner it for myself. And he has this reaction. But as I say, you've got to make your own fun.
I don't even like risotto.
Hot fucking wet rice.
Fucking dinner porridge.
So...
She said, I'm doing American Horror Story, but did you know Joanna Lumley has her own one-woman show? I think I'm due for an own one-woman show, don't you?
Complaining you don't have a one-woman or one-man show is like complaining there's not a straight pride. The reason there is not a straight pride is you don't fucking put one on. And then when you do, surprise, surprise, it's a Trump parade.
Yeah, it's insane. I've been to one of her one-woman shows. I've seen her on stage at the State Theatre where they have red weddings.
Yeah.
She wasn't there. She was walking into a fly at the time.
No, don't do that.
Rod,
I love this scene.
He hasn't removed that coat the entire
episode.
No,
because he's going to make money out of it. That's why.
That's right. He was designing his own shit, wasn't he?
His own shit. Oh, like is this where they kiss?
Yeah, well, you see, they're always just on the border of it. I really like
Which
it. It's
have
a
you
will
said
they,
this
won't
is...
they? So no. it's like David and Maddie in Moonlighting. You know, eventually they'll get together and then the show will go to shit.
And she'll get chlamydia and it'll end.
Yeah, terrible.
There's just not enough unintentional homoeroticism.
No, it's all intentional.
But now that we've moved past 4x3, because you need to get closer.
Oh. Mm.
Yeah, people are allowed to be further apart.
Roger
on
Pirving.
Television.
Yes.
Oh,
it's very disappointing.
Oh, Tony.
Yeah, see, again, they're just doing it now, aren't they?
Joan does a lot of side eye, doesn't she?
Oh, she does.
She is Joan Collins, after all.
Yeah.
She was the highest paid woman on television for 6 months.
Well, we all were. We've all been that.
On the last series of Dynasty, and they told her, you're too expensive, we can only use you for 10 episodes.
I'm going to throw Kate O'Mara at you.
And she said to them, Jesus, you've got to have balls of brass in this town. Haven't you?
My God.
I think this is kind of clever.
I love this.
So this is a Terry Nation script.
It is.
Which means that it's incredibly linear.
And racist.
And racist, obviously.
And no one's called Tarrant.
No.
But it's surprising. That's surprising
the
that they're behind
just
the wall.
Through the window.
That's Tarrant.
That was Tarrant.
Yeah. Oh.
Tarrant.
Bev Tarrant.
Bev Tarrant.
You know, he made his money writing comedy. I mean, that was how he started. Yeah.
He did like a Tony.
But, and now we are at all the orderly house during the day for night.
Mm-hmm. Do you know we actually are?
Are we really?
No, seriously. I thought you. Yes.
No. I was trying to be funny.
No, this is shot just outside Elstree.
So it is orderly house. Wow.
I want that mashup. Make it, Brendan.
They just did scissors, paper, rock to the side. Distract the card. That's brilliant.
Wine and cheese. Cheese and wine.
I don't think it's.
I'm going to get my
witty.
Cock out.
He's wearing a jacket.
Scissors, paper, vagina.
Oh, James.
He called me a cock. Why is that?
I'm turning this podcast around.
Why is that? Why is
you
that a rock when there's scissoring?
Anymore,
Oh, ow! That really hurts.
Surely it's vagina paper rock.
Okay. You hit a stump, man, and you couldn't see it unless you paid for the Blu-ray.
Scissor paper cock.
Vagina dental dam testicle.
Glower.
I don't think there's there's a thing beyond explicit in Apple Podcasts.
There's right. Richard Osman.
But we're trying for it.
So are we in a set with a slowly moving film of the Italian countryside going on in the background?
Yeah. Yes.
You're not going to send these two fuckers to me.
I love this chicanery with the cars.
Oh, that whole thing is just terribly fun. I can't get over how ridiculously enjoyable this is.
When are we for Joan.
When are we doing the Persuaders podcast?
We're doing it now. We're literally doing it right now.
That joke actually doesn't work.
Do you want to know about her bathroom?
Yes. I can't tell you how much I want to know about her bathroom.
Because it's so germane to the plot. It's all black.
Oh.
And very, very glossy. And the interviewer said, I had to use the powder room, but it was really just to check it out, as you would. She said, it's entirely black and shiny, like something from one of Jackie's novels, cough, cough.
One of her sexy novels.
I think it's something that that Grace Jones smuggled into bed. But you know.
What's that line from Little Britain? Blacker than a black man's cape.
Oh, that's quite good. She's got photos in the loo of every prime minister she's met, but she points out to the interviewer, oh, there's one of Tony Blair, it'll have to go. He's not a Tory. But she said, no, seriously, she said, but there's also the biggest photo is of Jackie and Joan in the back of a limo, and on the marble basin was a silver mirror, a bunch of flowers, and a bottle of Tom Ford perfume called Fucking Fabulous.
I thought you were going to say cunt.
This isn't about Joan, but it is about Jackie. I just remembered. No, when I was at school, a boy I was very good friends with, who turned out of my immediate friendship group to be the only boy who wasn't gay, was addicted to Jackie Collins novels, and particularly Lucky Ones. And he would tell me what I've never read them, but I have an understanding of them because he would tell me what the stories were about. And he's like, actually, they're really good. Uh-huh. And he's now married with two or three children. You know, I'm not casting any aspersions here. But he loved Jackie Collins' writing.
Did he love those lucky bitches?
Yes, he really did. And he kept saying to me, you must read. They were the only books he would read. Were the lucky books.
I really should read them.
How's his career now?
They're bound to be terrible.
Look, I think he's very happy. Actually, his wife called me by accident the other day because we were at school together as well, and it was like, hello, I've called the wrong Brendan. How are you? Like, literally not heard from each other in 6 years. But, yeah, she seems to be fine.
It's making me so kind of... not homesick for Italy, but just desperately.
Just gone blind in one eye.
Are those purple leather trousers?
Yeah, they really are.
Oh my!
Is she doing the Jennifer Aniston thing with the where she cuts the nipples out of her bra?
I'm sorry.
I'm just thinking she looks like something. No. She's wearing something that Callie would wear.
Yeah, she is very or a UFO girl. No, yeah. Actually,
except not in red.
Sorry.
Not in red.
Yeah, no, Cumberbatch's mum.
We did just have a subtitle of Speaking Italian, and we've got another one.
Nah, this is what I was thinking of when I was...
Yes.
This looks like the beginning of one of those videos.
Then he
says,
oh, where are the bicycles?
Joan!
I don't be silly, I don't watch Bellamy.
So I don't understand. I guess they want to get Joan and not Rocco together a little bit later. But I think they miss a trick by
did you
not
spoiler this.
Yeah, Christ, how old who is cares? It? Older than
people
you,
have either
darling.
Already seen it or they're not even watching.
but
Beverly Hillbillies.
I would have liked to have seen Tony and Roger on the same bicycle,
so to speak,
tandem.
For the viewer not watching, Joan was the figurehead of the mast on the front of the bicycle.
Yeah, she was with her legs out,
riding Killian. But a lot of airflow. She was the radiator no bicycle knee really needs.
I think that so they're just doing like I can't believe this looks so good because when we watched Dr. No, terrible. Which is 10 years earlier, yeah. admittedly,
yeah.
like on Blu-ray,
yeah.
like all of those scenes that are back projection just look lamentably bad.
They do.
But this, I mean, this looks great.
It might be because it's Val Guest.
I think maybe. Also it's because they're cutting rapidly between the back projection.
Oh, that was a fairly prolonged shot.
They're shorter
okay.
individual yeah. shots
yeah. And less of the frame is the back projection. Like a yes. lot of that is yeah. the body of the car okay. and the two actors.
It yes. does look good though, doesn't it?
Yes, yeah. yes, it does.
They're about to kiss, aren't they?
Yeah, as always.
As always.
Well, that's the thing. They haven't dropped them off for any reason of safety. They're going to go fuck.
Yeah.
Brokeback Mountain style.
Should we? Do you think we could kiss Peter?
Rocco's not doing it for me at all. He, the actor Robert Hutton, isn't it? He was apparently quite a star in the 40s and 50s, but I'm sorry, I don't know. He looks like an ersatz Patrick McGoohan to me.
Yes. Yeah.
I'm sure they'll make a big Finnish series about it.
So. No, don't say it three times.
The persuaders.
Oh, actually, I would want
to. Yeah, I would.
Just put Julian Wadham in it.
Yeah, Julian Wadham's great.
Yes.
Do you think that it's racist to steal this guy's truck and then just not give a shit about
Totes.
It? And then have him run and go, ah, mamma mia, il Although, mio truck.
They're also white, but yes.
To be yeah. fair, if this episode was set in South London, you'd just have a guy coming out, hey, you can't steal my truck, how am I going to get Governor. Me marrows to market?
Yeah, probably.
I don't think so. Like, back in this era, European people would not have been seen as being white by British people.
No. That's were foreign.
And
no,
they yeah, are they now. Like look it is racist.
Look at Mind Your Language.
Mm. Yeah, yeah.
No, it is racist.
My husband loves Mind Your Language.
Is it still around?
Mind Your Language. You download it.
The thing is, Mind Your Language is funny because we're laughing at the racists as well.
We're talking 1977. None of you were born.
I was the only one that was alive.
I loved it. It's Barry Evans. He's gorgeous.
I prefer you can't do that on television.
Can I tell you what happened after the incident? Because we're now all yes. shacked up in the cottage. Robert Baker, who was co-producer on this and created, you know, this the TV version of The Saint and was pretty much one of Roger's best mates, said, Tony, you need to get Joan 2 dozen red roses and you need to do it now. So Tony, being a gentleman, allegedly. No, he is a gentleman. Anyway, he ordered 2 dozen red roses and it cost a fortune because look where they're shooting.
Yeah.
Anyway, and it was trucked down in a refrigerated van full of hams, which did not go down well.
So you
could smell his meaty rose.
Yeah, yeah, there were roses that smelt like crotch,
Where's his truck?
It's possible that Joan took that personally.
What is it, your truck face?
But anyway, she said reluctantly Joan forgave Tony, who claims that as he closed her trailer door, he muttered, I'm really glad we're getting on together and I'm really glad that we're working together. You can't.
I was going to make that joke.
As such, Joan's recollections of working on the episode were, I loved Roger Moore. Isn't Tony Curtis dead?
Oh, my God. I have to remember that one. I have to remember that.
I mean, isn't that person dead? Jack!
Oh, don't start that.
Doesn't
we've still
this,
got another 10 minutes left.
Doesn't this praying mantis look like Roger Moore?
Oh, yes.
Look at the way it kisses.
So they actually
and eats its spouse.
Dorothy Squires head first.
So they're shooting people dead.
They're shooting
point.
Dead people. Yeah.
Well,
we only
they,
watch
they
dead,
end
people.
Up dead people.
They're say-warding them to death.
You're shooting me in the face.
Ow.
Not quiet. What do you think about Tony's jacket? He wears it pretty much all. Tony's got a nice bum.
Yeah,
he does have a very nice bum.
And Tony yeah. has and Roger has
Roger.
No crutch
it just
and no
fell
bum.
Out.
Yeah, yeah. yeah. No, he's wearing Colin Baker pants.
Dear listener, do write in if you think that Roger has a bum because we can't see it.
Has it been archaeologically uncovered?
I think it's a special feature on this Blu-ray box set.
I think that Val appreciated
Tony's bottom.
It's a lot of bump shots in
there. Yeah. It's like a Donald Duck cartoon.
I love Tony's jacket. I want that jacket.
It's equal opportunities bump shots, though, because it does linger quite along on Jones' bottom.
Yeah, well, didn't everyone...
Roger got £4,500 an episode. Tony got £6,500 an episode.
Well, Tony was big. Like, Tony was... He was American.
He actually hadn't worked for a few years. And this is
because
why
he kept calling people the C word.
He held out long enough.
So, you know, his biggest hit was Some Like It Hot, which really is an amazing piece of cinema.
I love this speech. This is really funny.
What's this speech?
This is about his great-grandfather.
Roger talking about his great-grandfather being holed up with no ammunition.
This is entirely due to Terry Nation, and it became a running gag.
In fact, you can see them actually forgetting their lines and treading on each other's lines here. They
much
don't
like this podcast.
Because there was actually alcohol in that hip-hop.
And Tony was hungover for most of
And they had to do a number of takes.
And Rog says in his autobiography, you know, they got... It wasn't difficult working with Tony, but he was a very singular person. But they got along very well, and they worked well together.
No boundaries and a Bronx kid who made it big. But the point is, then crashed. He actually had major problems with alcohol, divorced his wife. What was her name? Does anyone remember? She's
Beryl.
Stop it.
Beryl Reed.
Carry on.
it's not even what? No, Janet Leigh.
Oh,
from Psycho.
Of course. Okay.
Yeah. So Jamie Lee Curtis's mother.
Of course, that's why Lee Curtis, right?
Yeah. Do you know what happened in the late 80s with ATV and Lou Grade was still alive? Do you know about the sequel to The Persuaders?
No.
Are you ready for this?
The Convincers.
I would watch the front bottom out of this. A reboot with Jamie Lee Curtis and Deborah Moore.
Oh, yeah.
Wasn't that interesting?
Wow.
He was married 6 times.
Tony.
I know, he kind of got into it.
Yeah, let's talk about serial monogamy. Janet Leigh, 51 to 62. Christine Kaufman, 63 to 68. Leslie Allen, 68 to 82.
He loved Leslie.
Andrea Savio?
I think she's a couch throw.
1984. Isn't she on the floor? 1984 to 92. Lisa Dutch.
Are we doing it Dutch?
Well, are we King Dutch? 93 to 94. And Jill Vandenberg, 1998. Is he dead now?
No, he's very dead. So he's lovely, Tony. He's very dead.
Is he?
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
He died right after being interviewed by Pamela Stevenson.
Just to get out of it.
She ate him. It was horrible.
She's terrible.
His Wikipedia page. He's hello, Tony.
Bernie Schwartz admits to being entirely amenable to whoever would cast him in his early days in Hollywood. But he was honest about it. Most of them aren't. Brad Pitt was a pool boy for 4 years to one of the major producers at Warner Brothers, and that's how he got his career. Rock, this is why Rock was accepted and allowed to be in films. They were all freaking doing it. Bernie and Tony actually admitted in later life, he said, I'm probably bisexual, whatever word we use nowadays. Certainly in my early life, you know, the front door was not the only door.
No, well, I mean, he's pretty, you know, like...
Oh, he's beautiful when he's young.
You know, like it's the 70s, he's in his 40s, but...
He's only 45 in this and he looks 60 years older than me.
this gangster's wearing a knitted tie. Is he homosexual?
Very good point.
Mm-hmm. He's also wearing Roger's wardrobe because Roger provided the suit for several of the other guys.
Oh, I do like Roger's his tie, hair. Though.
I actually think Roger looks lovely with... Ken mid-70s hair, doesn't he?
Well, I like Roger when his hair's a little bit more under control. I like, you know, you only live twice.
Is he Ken anatomically correct?
He's not him, you only live twice.
What's the other one?
Live and Let Die?
Live and Let Die.
Yes.
What's the next one? Let's Die Tomorrow. Tomorrow.
Man with the Golden Gun.
No. I mean the next
die
one
week
coming
next
up.
Die a week next Tuesday.
Not a day to die.
Not a day to die. Die another game.
Maybe another die.
No Time to Die.
No Time to Die. I've got no time to die.
Matron.
Yes. for an upcoming trivia afternoon I'm hosting, someone wrote the answer for a James Bond film as A Time to Kill. And I had to go in and say, no, there is... What? That is not a James Bond film.
No, it is. It definitely is.
Isn't this the end of...
So this is a tag.
GoldenEye?
Yes, no. they're going to go fuck in the trees.
Xenia, stop it. I can't breathe.
And so that's the real Rocco there, is it?
It is the real Rocco. Yes. And it's not a Hughes 500. It's a Hughes 360 something. And all my Aspergy mates listening to this podcast will agree. They repainted it to make it look classier. Anyway, it's the same model that was used for the Batcopter in the Adam West series.
I do love her lashes.
I'm actually admiring
Tony
him.
Tony didn't mind either. She is really lovely in this, isn't she? And she can look. She's got lovely comic timing. I really like her.
Yeah, she really does. She is especially
in this.
For a terrifying Tory, she's great. And this is where she
gets revenge for being called a cunt.
Yeah.
Pretty
she
much.
She drives off and leaves them.
This wasn't scripted.
No, it was.
But by this see, they're too preoccupied with each other, and the woman gets
they
away.
Are. They are.
That is
happens
the
every single episode. Yeah, yeah. They end up sleeping together. Same house.
So, all right, okay, Rog, we're just going over here.
Broke back.
Some soft
grass.
Listener,
I hope that wasn't. Actually, I don't care. Did you enjoy that? No, we don't care.
Of course, we had Robert Wrighty in there earlier on, who has voiced so many people in James Bond films.
That went very quickly, didn't it?
It did. It was
Let's
really
do another
fun.
One. No, don't do that.
James only cares for your welfare, dear listener.
Did you know there's been at least two attempts to revive it as a feature film?
Yes.
The first one, which sounds terrible, with Steve Coogan and Ben Stiller.
I'd watch that.
The second one was with Hugh Grant and George Clooney.
Oh, no.
That'd be better.
But I'd watch it.
But that was 12 years ago.
Oh, so no.
It's safe to say it's not going to happen.
Yes,
but Ben Stiller, whom I hate as an actor, was going to direct. I have to say, there's what I've seen Ben Stiller in one part I like, which is Mystery Men, which kind of lampoons his comedic image.
All right. Well, I think we're done. What do you think?
I think you're a cunt.
Did you have something else to say?
No, I think I've shot my load.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I hope you enjoyed it a quarter as much as we did.
I'm sorry, that was a little too far.
It was really fun.
Yeah, you hit the curtains.
Pass me a cloth.
I did that once. He had to replace the curtains.
All right.
If you actually bothered to listen, and you would like us to cover something, let us know, because we're really quite at a loose end.
I will say that long-time friend of the podcast, Matthew Rayner, suggested when we were doing like the Connerys that we do Austin Powers or something.
That's interesting.
I think at least the first one has merit.
That's very interesting. My vote for the next one, dear listener, if you agree, is the 1966 Joseph Losey, no, not Sir Noel Coward, Elizabeth Taylor and Richard Burton, but Monica Vitti and Terence Stamp in Modesty Blaise. What does everyone think?
I have absolutely no opinion because I don't know what that is. I have
the comic book.
It's beautiful.
And apparently quite good. BBC Radio 4 adaptation.
If anyone's interested,
I don't think we can possibly do a commentary episode on a radio thing.
there's material. There's material.
Unless we record ourselves on camera.
That's it. So with no sound, it would just be us miming while you listen to the radio.
Well, it has lots of nods and people we know.
And there's nothing modest about my blaze.
I have only raised this with Richard so far. But the upcoming Trial of a Time Lord box set does include the unused episode 13.
Oh, by us?
By us. I'm suggesting it.
Is our recording on it?
No. I'm suggesting we do it. It's The Fantasy Factory by Robert Holmes, which was rejected.
We're doing it.
And I think we should all do it.
Okay. Yeah.
I don't know if the master's in it.
You mean record a commentary or...
No, I mean...
Get the script do it.
I think the best episode of Flight Through Entirety ever.
Yeah, I think so too.
I don't know. My acting was a little hammy.
Okay. No, you were the only one that played it straight.
You're playing Anthony Ainley.
Oh, okay then. So it was subdued then.
Yeah.
by comparison.
What your plan is too extreme, is still what I'm saying.
Is that you?
That's you, Richard.
No! Now, oh, dear listeners, this is an insight into the creative process. For that, when the Doctor and the Valiant are struggling and about to go through the time vent, I said to Richard, as Zeblom Glitz, look, we don't have visuals, so we need someone who's in the room, and it's only Glitz in the room. We need him to say, no, you'll go over the edge. And Richard said, oh, stop, you'll go over the edge. And I said, possibly a bit more concerned. And Richard, bless him, had done the most prep work out of any of us. He says, no, I don't think Zeblom Glitz really cares. But bless him, he did give me, stop, you'll go over the edge.
You should hear the multiple takes that Brendan took to try and get me to actually act. It took hours.
Rhubarb.
All right. Mercy for my dead baby.
Alison has poor Nathan.
Iceberg.
So while we're on the subject of flight through entirety, the plan is at the moment, and who knows what will happen tomorrow, I will release this tomorrow.
So that's September 14th.
Well, September the something, 14th. Yes. 15th. And the plan is this weekend, we Flight Through Entirety triumphantly returns with our Series 3 coverage, which
Smith
will go
much better than
with
this.
A straw. Yeah.
Which will go every week until we're all dead.
Smith and or Jones.
But otherwise, so, you know, catch us on all the things, wherever you get the podcasts.
Yeah.
See you on bondfinger.com.
And we didn't know this at time of recording, but Freema is now returning to the part of Martha Jones for Big Finish in Torchwood.
No.
With Eve Miles.
Stop it.
Yes.
I'm so excited.
Doctor Who next, please.
Yes.
You don't have to be in the same room as David. No. Let's cut that.
Really? Oh.
No, that's nothing. It's all staying in.
It's all rumour.
Actually, you know what? I'd be very happy with a 4-CD box set of Freema and Noel Clarke.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, actually. Yeah.
Fighting.
Ooh.
And he's done Big Finish before.
Yeah. Doing a Persuaders reboot.
Actually,
it would be Smith and Jones.
Yes.
Yeah, there you go.
Stop it.
Oh, come on. Smith, they've got to be adding that.
Smith and Jones. It exists.
Do it. Okay. Come on, Big Finish. Come on.
All right. So thank you very much for listening to all of this nonsense. Until next time, may you find a charming Italian aristocrat who's willing to gift wrap you. Thank you very much for listening and good night.
Good night.
Chin chin.
And cut it there.
Oh, James.
He called me a cunt.
This episode is never going to air.